Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday morning here on Radio to Establish to Adjust Life. What's up with you, man?
Yeah. It's nice to be back. You know, family time was last week. Had to call it. Had to. It was very much necessary. This is the first time in years, family. Years that my brothers and my sister and I have been this close as far as mileage is concerned. So it was imperative that we get together to sit together as a family, because we go visiting, somebody goes to somebody else, but we don't always all get together at once. And it was nice that a majority of us were able to come together last Saturday. And the reason it was necessary to have happened last week versus this week is because this weekend is Father's Day weekend. Happy Father's Day, cousin.
Word up. Same to you,
and
bro.
I didn't want to interfere or interrupt anyone else's plans with their wives or whomever to make that happen. So I was like, yo, that the best thing to do is to do it the week before and just suffer through. And we apologize for that, but it's important that we take care of family in everything that we do, and we be about that. You know what I'm saying? Very important. So we're back. We're on it. We got Cuzzo for another week, and then you'll be off fighting against enemies, both foreign and domestic, for the weekend. And then we'll be back together again. We'll form like Voltra. Hey, what you laughing at? I mean, that's what they say, right? When you put that, hey, I've been there. I've been in that room. When you put that hand up,
weekend,
you swear before that man. That's what you say, right? You swear to defend the Constitution of the United States of America against enemies, both foreign and domestic. Hey, that's what you do
for the weekend.
So, and that's what's up. We'll definitely be online and be on point in the weeks going forward. We got a doctor coming up. Dr. Wendy's coming on. We have a panel coming up to talk about the AIDS epidemic that's going on in Atlanta, formulating, plotting, planning, that whole thing. I landed out real smooth and lovely. I will actually be in Detroit that weekend, actually, because we're looking at doing that the weekend of the 9th, and I'm going to be in Detroit that weekend. And I'm going to Detroit to lay the groundwork for some stuff that we want to do there, but I'm also going to go to Flint while I'm there to do some things up in Flint as we continue with our eyes wide open about what's continuing to go on in Flint. So that's how those things are working out in the long and the short. So here we are. We're back. We talked early in the week. As you all know, the mass shooting happened in Orlando. We talked early in the week. It was like, yo, did we want to talk about this? And it was off the table, not even going to lie. It was like, I'm not talking about this bullshit, because you was like, I ain't feeling it either. It was totally off the table. And it's not a question about disrespecting those who passed, those who lost loved ones, those in the LGBTQ and whatever other initial has been added to that here lately community. Not about that. It wasn't about that at all. It was all about, in all honesty, how much more could be said. But then,
yeah,
some ignorant shit started pouring out, and it changed the whole damn attitude. So let's get this straight from the jump. This was not the worst massacre in the United States history. It was not. Let's be clear about that off the fucking rip. That is a total disrespect to the Native Americans that were here when white folks came across the damn water. That's a total disrespect to the African Americans who died in the Tulsa, Oklahoma riot. That's total disrespect to the African Americans who died in various racial and social class riots, the Chinese immigrants that died along the way, so on and so on. And we will get into the specifics here shortly, but let's not let the freaking wool be pulled over our eyes on that bullshit. Now, the thing that really captured me through all of this is how shook we are to talk about gay, lesbian, transsexualism in our nation, in our current culture. Let me tell you something. I don't give a fuck who you screw. I don't care who you fucking. I don't care who you sucking. I don't care who you licking. Does not matter to me. That is your business. But bullshit is bullshit. And the fact that the community is so strong, I applaud them. I respect them. I am ashamed of my folks, because we have not stepped up to the plate and presented our case, our hardship case, in a manner in which folk around the world would lock on, get on board with it, and say, y'all still struggling too. Because what you ignorant motherfuckers forgot is just yesterday was the one-year anniversary when that white boy sat up in church in South Carolina and shot those 9 black folks and killed their asses. Ain't nobody talking about that. Nobody's talking about that.
Well,
nobody's talking about that.
You know, I kind of disagree, because, like, I think the Black Lives Matter movement has become global. You know, and I think that the difference between the LGBT community and the Black Lives Matter community, as far as the strength of the movement, is that on the surface, it appears that the LGBT community is impacted more globally, because you have because you have people who live that lifestyle in every country and every nation. The impact is easy to cling on to that and embrace that on a louder scale than it is for the Black Lives Matter movement. But we've gained traction. When I say we, I mean the Black Lives Matter movement and black issues has gained traction over the last few years. But my boy, he put it to me like this: if it wasn't for the Black Lives Matter movement, then the LGBT community movement wouldn't have as much steam. You know, I feel, and I agree with him, that because of the Black Lives Matter movement, it gave the LGBT community a platform and the courage to really, you know, bond together and take it global. Because at first it was just, you know, in the States. But then people got the audacity nationwide, globally, to really speak out because it was something. It's something that every country, every nation, can really sympathize, you know, with. You know, you have people in Iraq or Iran who are gay, and they can, you know, they join the movement. You don't have, you know, black folk like in that capacity, you know, in Iraq or Iran that can say, hey, I can identify with your struggles. They have different struggles. But I think that we've done okay. We definitely could do better with being consistent with it. It has died off a little bit, but I think that behind the scenes, there's still a lot of stuff going on, man. I think people are really empowered a lot more than they were before to actually handle black issues. I mean, some other things I could talk about later on, but I kind of disagree with that.
Okay, I feel you. I feel you in that, but I disagree with your premise too. It wasn't the Black Lives Matter movement that sparked this, and has thrust the LGBT community, in my opinion, the LGBT movement forward. It was actually the Civil Rights Movement, and they followed.
Everything started with the Civil Rights Movement. Everything, all of the ideology behind protesting. And, you know, the goals of that, what you want to accomplish in protesting, all of that started with the Civil Rights Movement. But I'm saying in our current generation, in our current situation, you know, if Black Lives Matter hadn't sprung up, then I don't think that the movement for the LGBT community has been as strong as it is, you know, now. I think because of the Black Lives Matter movement, the LGBT community was like, hey, look, we can do this too. And again, they all spun off of, and they all gained some confidence from the Civil Rights Movement. But it was so long ago that in this conversation, there's some differences. There's some differences in approaches and stuff like that. I don't think that these movements are nearly as strong as the Civil Rights Movement. That's why I'm not comparing it the same. Because the Civil Rights Movement was totally different, totally much more stronger and much more prevalent. But I think that's what the momentum is coming from for the LGBT community. I think it's coming from the Black Lives Matter movement.
Okay. Well, let's go to the specifics because there are a lot. First thing, it breaks the shooting. First thing you hear out of everyone's mouth is terrorism. Okay. Anytime you scare a shitload of people, that's terrorism. So
right.
Let's back off the fucking ledge with that. Come on, y'all. Let's back off the ledge with that, okay? You utilize that word because it makes people feel safe. You know what I'm saying? It makes them feel safe because you then group that shooter or those shooters don't know exactly what was going on because this was breaking news. So no one actually has specifics at that time. You lump them into this group, and then everyone else is like, oh, well, that's just them over there acting crazy. Versus, wow, hold on, this shit can happen anytime, anywhere, from anybody. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, you know, Donald Trump out here talking about, you know, it's the Muslims' fault because they know what's going on. They didn't turn them in. We should hold them accountable. That, you know what, we're going to talk about him later on, but whatever. So Omar Mateen, 29 years old, residing in Fort Pierce, Florida. He walks into Pulse Nightclub. It's a gay-friendly nightclub. That's what it is. He kills 49 people, wounds 53. Now, back off of that, he's alleged to kill 49 people and wound 53. Because after the cops burst in the goddamn place and killed him, right, who knows how many people they actually killed and wounded as they were trying to kill him. Different story for a different time. So this joker walks in with a semi-automatic assault rifle and a pistol. Now, folks are saying it's an AR-15. It's not a freaking AR-15. It's a Sig Sauer MXC, right? Yeah, that's it. And which is smaller than an AR-15. But my first question is, if you're security at this club, you did not do your fucking job by no stretch of the imagination. Because, yes, you can hide both an AR-15 and the Sig Sauer in your person. You can do it.
Yes.
There are a number of stock options that will allow you to do that. If you're not familiar with the weapon, the stock is the piece of the weapon that usually is held against your shoulder while you're firing or close to your body just in general, okay? There are a number of options that will allow you to do that. We utilize several in the military. If you are an officer and you have to kill.
Most of them come with collapsible stocks now, period. Like, that's like almost standard now to have a collapsible stock. So,
right.
I mean.
But you have the collapsible, you have the bending in which you could utilize to fire from a prone position or a standing position that actually gives you better stability. There's a multitude. We're not going to go into this with you folks. If you don't understand it, don't worry. It's not too freaking complex, but if you don't understand it, then you won't really have a clue as to what the hell we're talking about. And he and I can swap stories about the difference in stocks all damn day long because we've seen them. We've touched them, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so anyhow, the point, you can hide this damn thing on your person. It's not impossible. You can, in effect, if you choose, utilize your waist as an ammunition belt. If you wear tight enough clothing, you can put the magazines between your person and the clothing will actually hold it and keep it in place. You can do that. Again, not difficult. This is shit that both you and I have seen. If you've never seen it, you're like, are you? Yes, you can actually do shit like that. All right? So that does not shock nor surprise me that someone did this. It shocked and surprised me that someone got away with it. You walk into a club, 9 times out of 10, you know the first thing that happens to you is you get a pat down. Now, that might just be the hood clubs that I go to, and if it is, then please let me know because. Because
that happens
uh-huh.
to you, Levon. That happens
okay.
to you. That happens to me.
If it,
you know what I'm
and this is what I'm saying. If it is, please let me know because I will no longer frequent the damn clubs that I've been going to. Because honestly, I'm going to some hood spots and I thought they were nice, but this is bullshit, and I will not go anymore. But anyhow, so Shorty Wardy, he gets away with this. He comes in the spot. Now this is what gets me. Okay. I don't know about any of you all. But whenever I go to any function, anywhere, the first thing I do is count entrances and exits. Like, this may be because of things that I had to do when I raised my hand and said, I promise. It might just very well be for that. But I know that's the first thing I do. And if I walk into any establishment and there's only one way to get in and one way to get out, I promptly turn my happy ass around and walk the hell back out. Not going to happen to me, Chief. According to all the schematics, Google Earth, whole nine, this structure only had one way in and one way out. That in and of itself is a death trap. Not that you would expect things like that to happen to you, but that is a death trap. If a fire broke out, anything could happen. This club was a death trap, without a doubt. So there was a 3-hour standoff between Mr. Mateen and the police, after which they used the armored vehicle to crash into the building. They deployed stun grenades, shot, and killed Mr. Mateen. Mr. Mateen is a United States citizen. He was born in New York. His parents immigrated from Afghanistan. He recently worked for G4S Secure Solutions, one of the world's largest private security companies. This cat had access to knowledge about weaponry and how to deploy weaponry. You dig? Supposedly, he got enraged by seeing two men kissing on a recent trip to Miami. For whatever reason, this pushed him over the edge, all right, this whole thing. He got into the club. He called 911. He pledged allegiance to ISIS, and he started laying folks down. He ran across an African-American female. He told her, I don't want to hurt you. I think that black folks have suffered enough. You move. And he kept mowing jokers down. This is her account of the situation. he is said to have visited the club repeatedly. Now, this is what gets me, Cuzzo. And you tell me this. The media is trying to spin this thing like this cat was a homosexual or bisexual. And he may very well have been. Okay? He may very well have been. But let's just say he wasn't. He visited this club several times. He got on a gay dating app and started friending people who went to this club, sending supposed pictures of his personal body parts, so on and so forth. Blah, 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 blah. Now, does that not sound to you like someone who did a hell of a recon job, or does that sound to you like someone who was just an idiot?
It really depends on, you know, which story you want to believe. You know, if you want to believe that he was, you know, a homosexual, then you can say love was quarrel, you know, he got turned down by a man, whatever the case would be. Or if you want to believe the domestic terrorism aspect of it, you would say, okay, yeah, he did a hell of a recon mission. So for me, that doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter, you know, if he was gay or not, you know, why, you know, the reconnaissance that he did, that doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is this guy was actually, he was interviewed during,
twice.
One of the, like an oil spill or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I think it was an oil spill, something. And he was actually on air talking about how nobody cares about what's going on. We're just here to make money, you know, get overtime. You know, we really don't care about what's going on with this situation. I'm just here to make some money.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that's not terroristic alarming, but for me, that's alarming enough to be like, okay, we might need to watch this kid, you know what I'm saying, a little bit.
Right.
Especially when, you know what I'm saying, especially when he goes on later on. Especially when he goes on later on and says, he goes to purchase the weapon, and the gun shop owner, you know, notifies the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
So again, this kid is on air, like I said, talking all types of craziness, and then he goes on to buy a weapon. You know, again, it's not necessarily in that sequential order. It might not be that close together. But we have systems in place, supposed to have systems in place, to track people or persons of interest, you know, to kind of really stop things from happening before they happen, and we keep ignoring these. He was on a watch list.
Twice.
He
interviewed by the FBI.
Yeah. He went to purchase a weapon and body armor. The gun shop owner notified the FBI, and nothing happened. So again, I give a damn about his reconnaissance, his gay lifestyle, allegedly, but I don't care. The system, again, in this situation, in Black Lives Matter movement, in every aspect in our lives that ends up in mass murder, the system that's designed or that's put into place to stop these things from happening continues to fail.
Mm-hmm.
That's what matters to me. You know, so yeah, either one of those stories can be the truth. I don't care. That's why I didn't want to talk about it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's so much other stuff. It's so much other stuff that goes beyond, you know, his gay lifestyle. You know, his doggone, you know, his reconnaissance and what he did and what he specialized in. There's so many red flags, and that were brought to the radar. That all of a sudden we're not proactive. My God, man. Our society is so reactive. It's sickening, man. It's sickening and it's scary as hell. Because what the hell are we spending all this money for, you know, paying our tax dollars for? What are we doing all these things for, voting for, if it's all going to be reactive? What are we doing it for? We might wipe this whole slate clean and let everybody just run amok and we just purge every fucking year.
It's the illusion of safety. It's the illusion of safety and the illusion of freedom. you know, I'm going through cleaning up the...
Who are you fooling? But my thing is, who are they fooling?
Yourself.
They're fooling themselves.
It's yourself.
You know what I'm saying?
Look. When you can allow this idiot, Donald Trump, to walk around and talk about let's make America great again, that's cold.
Yeah.
That's cold. Great. When was America great? Name me the last time America was great. And tell me if at that time everyone was inclusive in the American dream. Wasn't.
Yo, the summer, isn't. The summer of 96
didn't
was
happen.
A change.
Didn't happen. You said what?
The summer of 96 was off the chain.
Yeah, that was that Wu-Tang joint. Yeah, you right on that.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That was about it, though. You know what I mean? Other than that, man, we've been a hell of a handbag, yo.
But let's keep our focus. So at the beginning we said this was not the greatest mass murder in American history, and we're going to back that up. Tulsa, 1 June 1921, 300 people dead. Sand Creek, 1864, 165 Cheyenne and Arapaho tribe members killed by 675 U.S. Cavalry soldiers. Clear Lake, 1850, 60 Pomo tribe members in Lake County, California, were killed by U.S. cavalry members as well. Wounded Knee, everyone should remember the Battle of Wounded Knee, 1890. 150 Lakota tribe members were killed, including Chief Bigfoot in South Dakota. In 1885, 28 Chinese immigrants were killed because the coal mine in which they were hired to work in Wyoming was paying them lower wages than the white workers there, and that happened in Rock Springs, Wyoming. 1919, in Arkansas, 200 blacks were shot and killed after a white deputy was shot during a meeting in which black men met to discuss how to collect more money for their cotton crop. That was in Elaine, Arkansas. So this shooting was nowhere near the greatest massacre in U.S. history. I have folks hitting me left and right. Yo, what's an assault weapon? What do you consider an assault weapon? How does the military label an assault weapon? What do you think we should do about gun control? Blah, 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 blah. And my response to them was the same thing. Simple. It's two parts. First off, until everyone feels like they can have a slice of the pie, and I mean truly a chance, not actually get it, but a chance of having a slice of the pie, we will always have a gun problem in the United States of America. Because, and here comes the second part, our nation is a violent nation. This nation is a violent, it was built on the back of violence. It was built on the back of violence. Shiesty deals, killing of folks, taking their land, just moving in and taking shit out. We're going to talk about that in a minute. We will talk about that in a minute. Very next segment. But before we leave Florida, we got to hit Orlando again, because on Friday, memorial services were held for Christina Grimes, the young lady who was a finalist on The Voice. She was a part of Adam Levine's team. Adam Levine is the front runner for Maroon 5. The young lady was 22 years old. She was shot and killed while signing autographs after her concert at the Plaza Inn Theater in Orlando, Florida. Her brother tackled the shooter before he killed himself. A violent nation, Doc. A violent nation.
Yeah.
You know, we move in, we take people's shit, and, you know, it's like, oh, you weren't here. The Columbus it? That shit is about the United States of America. That's what we do. We just move in and take people's shit.
But,
you know, and then we sit back and we're like, well, why are they mad? What the fuck you mean, why are they mad? You can't just come in and take somebody else's shit. That's their shit. They've been there forever. How you gonna tell a man, a woman, whomever, no, you just gotta go, because we here now. That's bullshit. Gentrification. The reason all these damn animals are attacking. You know, the gorilla incident, that was a one-off. That was something totally different. But yet a But two or three days later, a damn alligator drags a baby into the damn lake down in Orlando. 2-year-old child, playing outside, 9 o'clock at night, by the water, waiting in the water, father, daughter, feet away, alligator comes up, snap, gone. That boy, that little boy is gone. That gator had dinner. It sounds ignorant. It sounds horrible, but that's the damn truth. That gator had dinner. That gator don't know no better. That's that gator's home. You done moved into his shit. He ain't going to leave just because you there. He got to eat, too. He got to survive, too.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's just, for me, again, I'm a big picture type person, you know what I mean? All these things are happening. It's not, in a sense, a coincidence, but it's really not. The negligence of mine is a big problem. The Florida's governor was being interviewed by CNN, and he was asked specific questions. He didn't have to necessarily have a solution, but he was asked specific questions on his thoughts about gun control. He was asked specific questions about his thoughts about violence in Florida in general. And all he kept saying was, well, we need to be having a conversation about ISIS. Why are we not talking about ISIS? Why are we not talking about how we can destroy ISIS? Dude, your state is in turmoil. The dude that shot old girl from The Voice, he wasn't a part of ISIS. You know, the unfortunate incident with the alligator. The alligator wasn't a part of ISIS. Now, again, you can't put the alligator and the shootings on the same scale, but your state is in turmoil. And you want to switch it and flip it to an ISIS issue. This club.
That's because he has no answers. He has no clue.
No answers. And I think for me, that's the problem that we have nationwide, man. We have these spineless, mindless leaders who, once they make it to these positions, you know, they all type, they're boisterous and they're excited whenever some issues that they can deal with, and they win, they get these quick wins, and they find those quick wins, you know, to them becoming governor and stuff like that. But
are you talking about O'Malley? Are you talking about O'Malley? I thought we were not going to bring him up today.
but just like Baltimore, man, and it's not just Florida, people. You know, the same thing is happening in other major cities, especially urban cities, where the negligence and the spineless leaders have allowed these cities and these places to become overrun. And Florida has always had an issue with violence, especially places like Miami and you know, the Pork and Beans neighborhood. You know, it's again, Lee, like you said, our country was built on violence. We are a violent country. There's 270 to 300 million freaking weapons in our country, manufactured yearly. Right? That's almost more than U.S. citizens, if not more than U.S. citizens. That's ridiculous, man.
But, you know, you said something that I have to disagree with. You said spineless leadership or inept leadership. No, it's a plan. Urban planning is done 20 to 40 years out. You know, prisons are built based off of third grade reading level. Well, hell, you're not really going to adult prison until you're 16, 18. You're what, 8 in the third grade? That's anywhere from 8 to 10 years. That's thought out. That's a plan. That's a plot. Areas are not allowed to go dilapidated because there wasn't a plan. That was a plan in that. Detroit has gone to the shitter. A couple of years ago, you could buy a house in Detroit for $500. Try to buy a house in Detroit now for $500. Ain't going to happen. Why? People have moved in. Real estate developers have moved in. All these plots and blocks and blocks and blocks of homes that were just vacated or falling apart, knocked down, perfect. Now you can come in, you can build whatever you want. It's not going to cost you as much money. Why? Because the city already paid for it. They already knocked the current standing structures down. So you can just come in, lay a foundation, mall, casino, courthouse, hotel, parking lot, whatever. Boom, and you got it. Bam, bam, boom, it's done. This shit is planned out, fam. The sad thing is we don't see shit like that. We don't think in those terms. We don't believe our government could be that harsh and be that cruel. Wake up, folks. Wake up. It can be. It will be. It is. It is. We're talking about money. Big money. Money is what swings government. This is why we will have no new gun laws after yet another horrific assault weapons incident. Why? Because money says I still need to move those weapons off of my factory line to a store in which they need to go from the store to someone's home. So, yeah, y'all need to look the other way yet again. Now, we'll put some money in the pot, and we'll help you build the memorial. We'll pay for a couple of funerals, so on and so forth. And but we ain't stopping the manufacturers, and we're not stopping the sales. Not going to happen.
You know, that's
too much money.
That's what bothers me with these settlements and stuff that families take. You know, I'm not saying that they shouldn't take these settlements, but, you know, a $1.2 million settlement is a drop in the bucket for a city. You know, if a city has to pay a settlement to a crime victim, you know, for example, the police shooting, they take these settlements and they eat it. It's nothing because you're not going to get it like today. You're going to get it over a period of time. So for a city, it's a drop in the bucket to take that. Same thing for, you know, a weapon manufacturer. They get a lawsuit filed against them. They got to pay, you know, $2 million. It's nothing to them. They make that $2 million in probably 48 hours. You know what I'm saying? So it's nothing. And we take these settlements, and it's kind of like hush money. You go through your morning. You talk about how good your child was. Like you said, they plant memorials. You know, they get on TV. They talk about how, you know, this is – again, they do their deflection and talk about ISIS and – talk about education levels and stuff like that, you know, in urban cities, and they talk about drugs and stuff like that. They deflect the real reason why these things are happening. Then they pay you some money and you move on with your life. You don't come back. You don't be an activist. You know, you don't be a civic leader. You don't give back to your community. You don't take that money and put that money into a recreational center to stop kids from experiencing the same thing your son or your daughter experienced. You don't do that. You go buy your house. You go buy you some cars. You go ball out of control. You buy you some jewelry. You don't even pay off your debt. You don't even get a life insurance policy. All those things we talked about, you know what I'm saying? All those things we've talked about over the last year, Lee, we don't do those things. And then it happens again. And then we cry this outrage. Oh, my God, why is this happening? It's happening because, one, like you said, we're not identifying these things early enough as citizens. We're not recognizing. We're not awake early enough. When it happens, we wake the hell up. We scream. We cuss. We fuss. It dies down. We disappear. It happens again. We come back. We scream. We fuss. We cuss. It dies down. We disappear. And that's from the average citizen up to our supposed, you know, civic leaders, church pastors, everybody, we disappear. And they know that. They expect it. It's easy. If you're a billionaire, it's easy to wait out. You wait it out. You sit back. Oh, yeah, it's going to be tough. We're going to see it on the news about 2 months. We're going to hear about it. We wait it out. Then we explode again.
Right. And not only that, you wait it out for a cheaper price.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, you start off at somebody demanding $10 million. You make them wait a little while. They go down to $6.5 million. You made them wait a little longer. They start getting desperate. Okay, well, I'll do it for $3.2 million. All right. If I can get it for $3.2 million, then I can get it for $1 million. You know what I'm saying? So the longer I make you wait, the more willing most people will be to accept whatever you have to offer. Well, maybe $10 million was too high. Let me do 6.7. All right, well, maybe that was too high. Well, shit, you know, 4.3 is cool, too. Well, if I can get you a 4.3, I can get you for 2.1. You know what I'm saying? Well, something close to it, that's still a hell of a lot cheaper than 10. And like you said, if I'm a billionaire or if you're a billionaire, what's the difference a million going to make? Ain't going to make a difference. To a city, though, that's a hit. That's a hit to a city. It's not a hit to the city staff, it's a hit to the people in the city, because guess what's going to happen?
Right.
In order to pay off
right.
those lawsuits, taxes are going to get raised. Services
yeah.
are going to become more expensive.
That's a point. So they don't care, because even still, you're not going to get that. You're not going to get that $1.5 million tomorrow over the next 2 days. You're going to probably get it over a period of time. But then even still, you still got to pay your lawyer fees.
Right.
So what is it?
We have a situation now in which the city council here in Baltimore is threatening to shut down the city if the mayor didn't go back to the drawing board and put more money in for children for the summer. They said, the hell with that. We're not going to do it. We're not going to pass the budget. We're going to veto the budget, and you're going to have to scrap all kinds of shit, or you can go in and you can tighten the purse strings and give us some damn money for the kids, because we want the kids off the streets. We need to get our kids off the streets. We need to secure the safety of our children the best we can. We have to start giving these children opportunities.
But look what it took.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. But look, you know, I applaud Mary Pat. And Mary Pat Clark, she was the keynote speaker at my high school's graduation. Had an opportunity to speak to her. Completely lovely woman. Cooler than a damn fan. Oh, man, love that woman. Absolutely love that woman. We'll vote for that woman in a heartbeat. You hear me? But she took the charge. She took the lead, and she got everybody behind her, and they were like, yo, okay, cool. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. And they made it happen. They absolutely made it happen. But let's stay with this these animals and children. So I want to continue with the gator. So gators tend to feed at night. So, again, this child was waiting in the water, 9 o'clock at night. They don't tend to attack full-grown humans, but small animals, which a two-year-old would look like, are fair game, and the gator got it. You know, Florida, little-known fact, is the home to the most gators in the country. I didn't know that. I would have thought it was Louisiana, to be honest with you. Between 1948 and 2016, there have been 257 attacks by alligators and crocodiles, leading to 23 deaths in the state of Florida. The state closest to Florida in that category, take a guess, Cuzzo. Where do you think the next most populated state of gator or has the greatest amount of attacks are?
South Carolina?
Texas.
Oh, shit.
Texas. But I would have never thought Texas. I mean,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
I don't think Texas and alligators, but I guess. But you are more likely to die from a cow or a horse than an alligator. 655 people a year die from cow or horse injuries. 509 from hornet, wasp, or bees. 250 from dogs, 148 from insects, 136 from snakes and lizards, 70 from venomous spiders, 9 from crocodile and gator, and 8 from shark attacks. Now, that's another thing. You know, these sharks are biting motherfuckers because we're invading their space.
Yeah, we're in their space.
We're polluting their space, the oil drilling, the plastic bottles, the trash, so on and so forth. And then we're invading their space because Dubai's building fucking fake islands all over the place. China's putting up fake islands all over the goddamn place. Where the hell are you going to go? You know what I'm saying? I need to eat. Everything on this earth has 1 in 8 instinct, and that is to survive. We all have that basic instinct. We all want to survive. And we will. We will. In Colorado, this happened Friday night. This happened last night in Colorado, up in Aspen. A mountain lion attacked a 5-year-old boy. The dad called 911 to report the attack. The boy was playing outside with his older brother. The mother heard screams. She rushed outside and physically removed the boy from the mountain lion. I'll repeat that again. Physically remove the child from the mountain lion, meaning the lion was either biting or had the child all the way in its mouth and about to roll out with it.
Mm-hmm.
The child suffered injuries to the face, head, and neck. The mother had injuries to the hand and leg areas. Later on, deputies and an officer with the U.S. Forest Service located and put down a mountain lion found in the area. They're hunting
any
for another. And they, there you go. This, this massacre shit all over again. Any damn mountain lion dude, hey, we did some, but here it is, though. That's that false sense of security. So now they come back and say, we shot the mountain lion. Motherfucker, no, you didn't. That was Kevin and them. Kevin was just over there chilling, minding his own business, you know, just looking for some berries and shit. Kevin didn't have nothing to do with that attack. That was Lisa. Lisa was the one over there attacking the kid. But you just shot Kevin. Kevin, like, God damn it, man. What the hell? Now you're looking for another one found in the area, and that was Timmy. Timmy, like, what the hell are you looking for me for? I ain't done nothing. That was Lisa in there.
Lisa up in the tree looking like, damn.
She was like, my bad. I fucked up when they did a kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is some bullshit.
Oh, man. This is crazy, man. Like, nobody's safe. Everybody getting profiled, man.
You know, attacks on people are rare. With a fewer than a dozen fatalities in North America in more than 100 years. Mountain lions are also called cougars or leopards or that's what they are. Shit. You know what I mean? So, y'all, just crazy, dog. Panthers. Just crazy, dog. Crazy. Shit is crazy.
Dude, again, man, you know, it's certain things. You know, the laws of nature should always apply. And again, we're so comfortable, we're so ignorant to the laws of nature that we find ourselves, or they find themselves, in these situations. And again, it shouldn't take, you know, what's pissing me off about it is they're talking about how Disney didn't have signs up they didn't have signs up to say, hey, look, you know, there's alligators in the water. Like, I got to tell you that? Like, I really have to tell you. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I really have to tell you that this is a lagoon. And I got to tell you that there's alligators in the Florida lagoon. I have to tell you that.
Right.
And I'm like, this is the crap that bothers me. What about your responsibility as a parent to protect your child?
Good.
At night.
There you go.
This is at night.
There you go.
Stop passing crap off. And again, this is what people do. They deflect from the real issue. The real issue isn't the fact that Disney didn't have signs up. The issue is that you let your child at 9 o'clock at night
9 o'clock
play
at
in
night.
The freaking water. Not 10 o'clock in the morning. No, not 10 o'clock in the morning because anything could happen. The kid could have tripped, you know what I'm saying, and fell out face first into the water real quietly. He could have drowned. Would that have been Disney's fault, too? Come on, man. You have to, at some point, have responsibility. And people, we get so comfortable and just enjoying ourselves, and we get so into ourselves, we forget our responsibility. And my responsibility, dude, I'm in my house with my kids. If I go 30 seconds without hearing my kid's voice, I'm up and I'm looking around for my kids. Now, I know I've done everything in my power to protect my kids in my home, but anything could happen. I could have dropped the quarter by mistake. I could have dropped the quarter and didn't hear the quarter fall, and my daughter can pick up the quarter and put it in her mouth and swallow it. That's not the landlord's responsibility to tell me that the carpet is too soft and you might not hear a quarter fall. You know what I'm saying? Like, get the hell out of here, man. So I'm going to sue them and be like, hey, they didn't tell me the carpet was real plush. Like, come on, man.
But it's but it's the new American way. The new American way is I'm not responsible for shit that you didn't tell me. Really?
Right.
You know, really. So yeah. So this is what kills me when people say, well, they didn't use common sense. There's no such thing as common sense. Common sense is not common. It's not. We all have different life experiences. So what's common to you, i.e. me going to the ghetto clubs, is not common to you. You know what I'm saying? So that it's not the same. There's no such thing. I'm used to getting strip searched when I go into a club. You're not. That's common to me. It's not common to you. Hello. You walk in with AR-15 because you're not used to people searching you. I walk in with a razor blade taped to my collar because I'm used to people searching me. You know what I'm saying? I don't get it. I don't get what you don't understand. There's a difference here, people. There are differences. Everyone doesn't understand the same shit. Everyone doesn't know your button. So if you're pissed off, you have a responsibility to me to say, yo, I'm pissed off and this is what you did to piss me off. Not have me guess, because if you leave me guessing, your ass is going to be short because you're going to continue to be pissed off. And I'm walking around like, yo, what is wrong with you? And or the famous Levon saying, you'll get the fuck over it. And I'm fine with that because it's not my responsibility to figure out why your ass then all of a sudden switch modes. That's not my responsibility. If I don't know, if I straight up did something that's just dumb and or stupid, then yes, that's my fault and that's my responsibility. If it's some shit that's your shit, that's just your thing, and you understand that that's your thing, then no, I'm not Sherlock Holmes in them. I'm not detecting those. No, I'm not guessing. No, if it's meant to be, no, eventually you'll tell me, and I'm fine with that. I can wait. I'm very patient. That's something that I've learned in my older years. I did not used to be that way, but now I am very patient. I will sit and wait. I'm fine with that.
Hey, fam. But this goes back to something that me and you talked about again on this show a few months ago, communication. We don't have it. Our communication, and I can't remember where I was. I was at training. And, you know, we were doing suicide prevention training. And we talked about how we're desensitized and we're detached because of electronics and social media.
Uh-huh.
And most people, you know, communicate with their faces and their phones. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have the wonderful world of Google, and you have Bing.com, and you have Pinterest, and all these other sites that tell you how to do every single thing, it rids you of that ability to actually think. It rids you of that ability to have critical thinking and communication skills that are necessary for us to function as human beings, bro.
And society. Absolutely right.
we have to communicate in order for us to overcome things and move ahead and prosper. If we don't communicate our goals, our ambitions, our vices, our superfluities, if we don't, you know, communicate those things, bro, we lost. And to me, this is what's happened with our society and our future generations of kids, man. You know, again, I have an 18-year-old who still does not know how to effectively communicate her emotions or her concerns. And I'm telling her on a daily basis, like, this is going to be a problem for you if you don't think that. You can't. Like, you have to be able to communicate, effectively communicate your concerns, your issues, your problems. You know, I tell, like, she just got her first job. Her first paycheck was short, like crazy short. I'm like, did you say something to her? No, I didn't say nothing to her. Why not? Well, because I think, what did you figure? This is your money. If you don't fuss about your money, they damn sure ain't going to care about giving you your dough back. They're not going to care. They're going to be like, hey, she ain't worried about it. I ain't worried about it. They're going to do this. Not everybody are honest. Everyone doesn't walk around here like honest Abe and say, hey, you know, I'm so sorry. I messed up your paycheck. Let me go ahead and get this money back to you. No. Then they told her then when she finally went to him, oh, well, you got to wait. Nah, I got to wait. I got to wait because you messed up. But she chilled. She let it go. Okay, well, just whenever you get to it. What? But then you come home and you cry about it. Like, no, man. The issue should have been brought to the forefront when it happened. Not you say okay and be passive about it and you come home and then you cry about it. No, then it doesn't matter then. I don't care about it. It's not my money. Don't fuss with your boss. You know, tactfully making the issue. You know what I mean? But again, dude, the communication is just a lost art.
Well, I tell you who cannot communicate well, and that is, yet again, the head figure of the Republican National Committee, Donald Trump. So, again, RNC delegates are hashing a plan to stop Trump. They are once again engaged in ABT, anybody but Trump. They have started a movement for a conscience clause at the convention, which will, in effect, allow delegates to vote for whomever they so choose, irregardless of who won the state elections. The thing I do not like about this is not democracy at all, because you are allowing folks to go John Wayne willy-nilly and do whatever the hell they want to do. So I'm not pulling for this to happen, to be totally honest with you. This starts us down a very slippery slope, and it brings up the entirety of the talk that we've been having for years, and we and those in academia have been having for years about the need to get rid of the Electoral College and allow simply the popular vote to dictate who's going to be president and who's not. But that's for a different show. And actually, I think I'm going to reach out to Saladin about that, bring that brother back on the show. But anyhow, we'll talk about that, because that is actually right up his damn alley. Yeah. Look for that call, brother. Look for that call. If not today, I'll call you tomorrow. I know he's listening. But Paul Ryan, again, if you don't know who he is, Speaker of the House, a Republican from Wisconsin, he will chair the convention in Cleveland. He has said that House Republicans should follow their conscience on whether to support Trump. The last thing I would do is tell anybody to do something that's contrary to their conscience. Dog. That's huge. That's huge. If that ain't cold, I don't know what the hell is. This man just said, the last thing I would tell anybody is to do anything that's not in line with their conscience. Really?
Yeah.
You said that? Ooh, Trump, yeah. U.S. is in trouble.
I'm telling you.
So, Donald Trump has flipped in the polls big time. He has continued to call for the ban on Muslims, the racial attack against the federal judge, and his support of the gun control laws is what is also prompting the Republicans to look for anyone but Trump.
But check it.
But
check
dog,
it real quick, right?
That statement real by quick. Ryan, I was like, oh, that's fire right there, dog. That's fire.
But check it.
That's real. Fire, dog.
If you notice, Donald Trump's slip in the polls has a direct correlation to him being quiet. Consider, I mean, mm-hmm. even though he made that idiotic statement about the judge, He's been relatively quiet over the last month and a half, and his ratings have fallen because of that. So he made a conscious effort. He said that he was going to be a little bit more toned down, and you know he was going to be a little bit more carefree about the things that he says in his statements, but he's taking a hit because of it.
Yeah.
So for me, it's more interesting. You know what I'm saying? For me, it's more interesting that it proves more that people want to hear the stupid stuff that he was saying. People want to hear that. They want to rally behind that ignorance. So that's more scary to me than anything. But it's interesting. He's quiet. He's more toned down now. His ratings fall. And now it seems like Hillary Clinton is becoming louder, and now she's becoming louder, she's going up in the ratings.
But she's louder because the fight with Bernie is over. And though Bernie had the video message the other day in which he implored his followers that he's going to continue on to the convention, he wants them to continue their support of him and want them to be more engaged in the system, and that he would go to the convention to fight the Democratic Party on the things that he saw wrong during the process. But now that their fight is truly over, because she has secured the amount of delegates and superdelegates for the nomination, she is now free to focus solely on Trump. Now, it is heir apparent that a number of things that he had attacked her on, Donald Trump will be piggybacking off of those into the general election. But this is, I'm looking at Trump and I'm saying to myself yet again, this dude does not want to be president. If he did, he would not say the shit that he's saying. If he did, he would not be hunkered down in these red states in which he already knows 9 times out of 10 he's going to carry simply because he's a Republican nominee. He would be going to the blue states, the border states, the ones that are kind of purple, sort of kind of in a way, in which the strongest fight is going to be, and hammering his message home there. Since he's not, that's further giving me evidence and proof that he does not want to be president, because he's not doing the things necessary to be president. He's not enlarged his staff. He's not the larger media buzz. Yada, yada, you. The ducks are not there. There's nothing in a row. His eggs aren't in the basket. It's like, oh, shit, how did I win? Now, how the hell do I get out of this? While still looking like I fought the good fight. You dig?
Yeah.
So that's what it's all about. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, he was already talking up how the Republicans were going to steal the election for him, from him, yada, yada. Now they're putting forward this conscience clause. Now he can come back and say, oh, see, I told you they were going to steal it from me. Hey, I tried, yada, yada, yada. Now he backs off. He signs the television deal that's already on the table. He makes buku money, you know what I'm saying, and he's back. He is back being the Don on television talking about how huge things are.
And that's the thing about it, man. Like he said a million times over, I'm a businessman. I'm a businessman.
Right.
Hey, I'm a businessman. Like, you got to hear his words, man, and people just blow over so many things. But he's putting it out there. He can care less. Win, lose, or draw, he's going to make money. You know what I'm saying? Like, him becoming, if this was his only job, him becoming a president of the United States would be a tremendous pay cut. It would be a pay cut for him. So financially, he doesn't gain anything by being the president of the United States. But he does gain a hell of a lot more. It's those cases like in American Idol. American Idol, a lot of times the loser or the second place winner would benefit more from the first place than the first place winner. The first place winner get the deal from American Idol, they go on, and sometimes, a lot of times, they really haven't gone on to be successful. But the second place winner has gotten, has had the longer career, has had more record deals, more record sales and stuff like that, more endorsements and stuff like that. And that's what he stands to gain from it. He loses the presidency. Again, he's a Don again, just like you said. He gets a television deal. He get a book deal or two. He might even get a damn movie deal. They do some documentaries. They do a reality show.
Oh, he's going to get a movie deal.
Right. You know what I'm saying? They're doing a reality show probably now as we speak, following him through the campaign. Then that's going to run in a 5-series sequence. You know what I'm saying? So he can get residual from that. He might even get a damn record deal from it. Who knows what's going to come out from this dude, man. He can get t-shirts, hats, freaking bobblehead dolls. So much stuff is going to come from him just running and having, even if he came and did last, the stupid stuff he's been saying is going to bring him money. And
I guarantee you, let's Make America Great Again has been trademarked by Donald Trump. I guarantee you that. I guarantee you those hats have been trademarked, and he's going to sell them. Yeah, I guarantee. I haven't even looked it up. I've not looked it up, but I guarantee you that he's trademarked that slogan. Guarantee you. I guarantee you. Guarantee. Let's go on to a couple of things. We're going to do Brazil Pakistan, then talk about the game, and then as we wrap. So Brazil has been hit by its worst recession since the 1930s. The economy has shrunk by 5.4% in Q1 of 2016. Q1 is January, February, March, family. Falling oil prices have led to the downfall. This is very important for a number of reasons. Reason number one, they're about to host the Olympics. Reason number two, they have the largest economy in Latin America, period. The governor, acting governor, Francisco Dornelas, issued a statement of emergency the other day because they are 50 days away before the start of the Olympics. The state of emergency authorizes additional funding to security, mobility, and health care, citing these are at risk of not becoming full and true before the start of the Olympics. The city of Rio is largely responsible for the Olympics, however, not the country. This is, I'm sorry, not the state I forget what the state is, but the city, that's very interesting because it's sort of like the Baltimore, Maryland coexistence, where Rio is its independent city separate from the state. But anyhow, there's a metro line extension meant to connect the largest of four Olympic venue clusters with the rest of the whole city that has yet to be completed. Again, they are 50 days away from the start of the Olympics, and that shit is not completed. That's going to be work and a half in the ass. Now, you want to talk about some more shots being fired. The mayor of Rio, Eduardo Paes, tweeted that Rio is an absolute fiscal and financial comfort. The state of calamity decreed by the state government in no way delays the deliveries of Olympic commitments made by Rio. Besides, on the issues of security, where the mayor's office is not responsible, we are certain that partnership with the federal government will work. Therefore, I renew here the confidence that we will hold exceptional gains. If that isn't shots fired across the bow, I don't know what the hell is. That is beef at the highest level of local and state government, without a doubt. And then there's something else that came out of Brazil, and I want to talk about this because we talked about this about 3 weeks ago. Yeah, because it happened then. The 16-year-old girl, I don't remember if you remember this, that was gang raped on the 21st of May inside of a building there, which started the protest. Actually, I think you were at drill that weekend. Started the protest, so on and so forth. Seven people were charged with that rape on Friday. So good for the folks there, because that was definitely an international concern for the Olympians as they traveled to Rio to take part in the games. In Pakistan,
you know, I did read about that a little bit, but yeah, definitely.
Right.
Good news to hear that.
Makadis Tafiq, 22, was 8 months pregnant with her second child. She was killed by her family because she married against their wishes 3 years ago. Her mother showed up at a maternity clinic where she was having her checkup, dragged her back to the family's home, where the family hit her with wooden rods. When the rods didn't kill her, they slit her throat. Her mother and brother are on the run. Arrest warrants have been issued for both. I don't think they're going to be caught. I don't think they're going to be tried, but it looks good on paper to say that we're no longer barbarians. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they are the country now.
And if you want to talk about some barbarianism, let's talk about Game 7, Cuzzo. Can you believe it? Down three games to one, the Cleveland Cavaliers have tied up the series and now go on the road to face the Golden State Warriors for a Game 7 in Google Arena, Apple Arena, whatever arena that freaking place is. Cisco Arena, right? I think it's Cisco Arena.
Yeah.
So they're going to do it up for the championship. Now, on the line is the mathematically best season ever in NBA history if the Golden State Warriors were to win, or the first championship in 52 years for the city of Cleveland. if the Cleveland Cavaliers were to win. A Game 7 road victory has only happened in three times in NBA history. The last time was in 1978. If the Cavaliers win, this would be LeBron James' third championship. If they lose, that would mean that LeBron would be 5-2, five defeats, two titles. If they lose and he were to win later on, he would be only the third player in NBA history to win a title after the age of 32. Jordan did it at 35, and Duncan did it at 38. What you think is going to happen?
Well, first off, this is the most exciting NBA season that I've ever witnessed, you know, post-Jordan era. For me, every year that Jordan was playing was an exciting season, you know. But post-Jordan era, this is, like, the best season I've ever witnessed. It's so much on the line here. Like, your freaking head starts spinning when you think about everything, all the history that's going to be made and that has been made throughout this season. I called the series in six, but, of course, we're in game seven, so I don't feel too bad about the season, the series going to seven, because it adds excitement to it. I think the Golden State is going to win. I think they're going to ride that the home court advantage with the fans, and I think the Splash Brothers are going to be comfortable. I think Draymond Green is going to go all out because, hell, if you get a technical foul from punching LeBron in the face in the fourth quarter, if that means securing a victory, I think he'll do it. You know what I'm saying? I think that everybody on the Warriors side will go deep. And I think they'll use all their fouls. I think it's going to be a physical game. They might get some scuffles going on. But I think it's been built up for this thing to just explode and be a hell of a game. As a fan, as a fan of sports in general, I'm enjoying it, man. I was nervous in game six. Then when I saw it going away, I said, you know, this is what it's supposed to be. Game seven will be tight. It's going to be a beast, and everybody's going to love it. Again, I hope and pray that LeBron James does not win another ring. I can't stand him. But if he does win, I'll be happy for the city of Cleveland. Like, no city should suffer like Cleveland has over the last decade. I mean, not decade, but century or half a century. They shouldn't suffer that bad. But I think it's been built up to this, man. The beef between LeBron James and Steph Curry is alive and well. You know, I don't see why LeBron James picking on Steph. You know what I mean? Like, he outweighed him by like 100 pounds. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's fun to watch, man. It's fun to watch. It's really exciting. I'm going to be amped up, going to be nervous as hell. I hope they blow him out. I mean, I hope Golden State blow Cleveland out so I won't have to worry about it too much. But either way, it's going to be an exciting game, man. I just can't wait.
Here's my thing.
My heart can't wait.
Here's my thing, and I've noticed this, and I've been saying this on the show for the past couple of years. If you notice, the NBA championship plays the book of the NCAA championship. It does. Though the series is longer, the ending is damn near nearly the same. So here you are, NCAA championship, North Carolina, Villanova, last-minute shot, victory, fucking bananas. Tight game all the way, crazy. Here we are, game seven, down 3-1. This is going to be a tight game, blah, blah, blah. My X factor in this is no one that you mentioned. My X factor in this is Kyrie Irving. If Kyrie has the game that he had a couple games ago when he went off for 41, there's no way that Golden State is going to win this because they're not going to play Kyrie like that. You know what I'm saying? And then it allows everyone else to play better. So if Kyrie
Kyrie's going to get his. Kyrie's a beast.
But if Kyrie gets 41, Cleveland wins.
No, man.
Okay.
Because what happened in that game, they didn't win 82-75.
Correct.
You know, more people from Cleveland got off that shouldn't have got off. Richard Jefferson got off. You know, freaking J.R. Smith got off.
Got off.
You know, you can't let them get off. You know, Kyrie and LeBron, they're going to get there. But Kyrie and LeBron can't get theirs, and then Clay and Steph
everybody else
go six for 32. You know what I'm saying? Like then, well then on Cleveland side, you got, you know, like I said, Richard Jefferson going off. You got J.R. Smith, you know, getting some bump, you know, getting some good play. Tristan Thompson scoring 16 points. You can't beat them like that. When you allow their bench to be effective, then any team, the teams who benches are more effective, always win in big games like this. Golden State's bench, as deep as they are, they can't afford to not score. They've made it this far because they've been strengthening numbers. Their bench has been so deep and so impactful that they've suffocated and ran the hell out of teams. But you can't go seven deep if you're Golden State, while Cleveland is taking a page out of your book and going 12 deep. Like, you can't do that. So freaking most states hadn't really played. Daggone, Rush hasn't really played. You know, they haven't. Varejao just starting to play now. You know, now you have Bogut out. You have to really go deep to your big men because they're getting killed on the boards right now because they're not going deep with their big man. They're playing the small ball way too much, and Cleveland is going big and bodying the hell out of them and beating them down. Kyrie gonna get his. Right. I hate to admit it, he's a Duke. I hate to admit it, but he's gonna get his. So with that being
all
said,
all I'm saying.
Go ahead. All right, please
go ahead. No, finish.
No, I'm saying at the end of the day, you have to show up from 1 to 12 if you're Golden State. That's what brought you here, so you have to do that. Harrison Barnes has to score more than 2 points. And one last thing, real quick. Stop. I know that you're a 3-point shooting team, but damn, can you penetrate as? It's been proven every time Steph penetrate, he either get fouled or he get a nice little layup. Then that's opening him up, you know what I'm saying, to shoot his threes. But damn, like every time I turn around, they jacking up a three. Cleveland, again, they playing big ball. Cleveland grabbing the boards and they on the fast break. Cleveland is playing how Golden State used to play.
What I'm saying, last point on this entirety, I know one thing to be true. Without a doubt. Last night, Coach K talked to both LeBron and Kyrie, and Dante, and he said, go get them, boys. Family, to all you fathers out there, happy Father's Day. This is not for you damn single mothers. You had your day. Happy Father's Day. You all be safe. For all you mothers out there with a man in your life, make sure you break him off a little something proper. Like, this is that time
real
of the
nice.
Year where he needs some special attention, so make sure you break him off something proper. Like, for all you kids out there, make sure you call your damn daddy and say Happy Father's Day, especially if he's a good daddy. There is a difference between being a dad and a father. So definitely make sure you say Happy Father's Day to your daddy. If that mug is just a father, then that's a different story.
This is your
you
day.
All, you all be good. You all be safe. Till next week, family.
Peace.